we might as well accept that in some ways. You're going to have chat bots that are calling or reaching out. Of course, we already have all the texting now, and I don't even know how to get on those lists, and it's annoying. But you'll have chat bots that will call and talk to people about that candidate's stance. As long as they're not representing that they are the candidate and they're not using the candidate's voice to make an AI call that they can use on Call Blitz or something, I don't think that's right. I don't think you should have AI representing the candidate in any way. Like, yeah. The candidate's voice should, even though the candidates aren't writing their words, I mean, maybe on a more, like on your, the when you ran, I'm sure you were writing most of the stuff you were saying.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, these higher level people, other people are writing that for them anyway. But I'm saying just the words they speak out of their mouth should be their own. I think that you have to be very careful manipulating pictures,
yep,
and things used for mailings. I mean, there's always been Photoshop, right? But I just think you have to be very careful in misrepresenting where the candidate's been or what they've done. You still have to have that honesty there.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be not only – well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to stop talking. Butters, you first. Now, what you got? So, AI and campaigns.
So I hate – Lee kind of stole my thought process, but the one thing I would say is I think it's the wrong question. To Lee's point, it's here. It's happening. The time to have debated, particularly as you think about like implications during the political campaign, i.e. passing laws or regulating it in some way and its use, like it's too late for this. And I think there were a lot of thought leaders in the tech world that said that, like, y'all need to get ahead of this, unlike we normally do.
We're playing catch up again.
Yep. And so I think it's going to be to each campaign. It's going to be over to what do you feel is the right way to utilize it. And then to us as voters, understanding the barrage of stuff that we've had thrown at us over the last, decade, particularly with social media, it's only going to be more. And we've got to find sources of information that we trust and, figure out how to make some sense
out of it. Well, I think the key word you just said there is trust. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that I'm really concerned about, is this is going to erode trust in the public. When you see a picture of a candidate, it should be a picture of the actual candidate. What you won't want to do is meet them in real life and go, I thought you were 2 feet taller and looked like an NFL linebacker. But at the same time, what about pictures that are made of the opposition candidate that are not real? That's an awful thing.
To a certain extent.
Deepfakes?
Yeah, deepfakes, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, to a certain extent, like Lee said, Photoshop's been around, and there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot in magazines. Every one of these folks listening, you've seen, and it ain't the real thing.
But it's interesting when you just have like good lighting, yep. Or you get the angle that makes them look a little thinner. But then the idea that we're going to create images of them doing something or in places where they weren't. And sometimes even use that against them. I think that's a very dangerous thing.
So I think...
But think about it. It's happening now. I mean, we've seen those flyers that have their opponent on them making this weird face that looks like they're about to sneeze. Like it's ugly. People have used those forever. But you're right. They shouldn't manipulate them into
We
that.
Had a situation,
but what
by the
I'm
way.
Concerned
go ahead.
About
go ahead.
Is,
no, finish
I'm
up.
Sorry. I'm just concerned that they're going to manipulate a voice, a picture, a video... totally out of whole cloth of somebody saying something they never said. You just saw that thing about President Trump. They were commenting on, was it CNN, where he had cuts on his hands or something. They said, oh, it must have been from slamming his hands down on the desk or whatever. And then later, same day, he's out there, and they're like, can we see your hands? And he holds them up, and he's like, what?
Oh.
And there's nothing on there?
It's on the screen right now. It's actually on the screen here in the studio, the whole hand thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, what's also interesting is there was a thing in New Hampshire just in the last day or two. New Hampshire residents got a fraudulent phone call that appeared to be or seemed to be the voice of Joe Biden telling them they didn't have to send in their absentee ballots, that it was okay to do it without. And it was fake.
Somebody needs to go to jail for that.
I agree.
So my so what thought to everybody listening, particularly as a guy that does marketing and tries to leverage this stuff for good. Don't jump on the bandwagon. Take a breath. when you see stuff, a picture, hear a thing, take a breath and think about it and figure out, is this true or not?
Yeah. I think that's a great point. But legally speaking, I do think that state legislatures are going to have to be prepared to enact something, because if you do this, it's to the point of fraud. You know, at some point it becomes actual fraud. All right. Listen, let me jump on over there to another topic. Oh boy, big fun. Here we go. In the woke world in which we live today, it's being reported that in Connecticut, I believe it was, that feminine hygiene products were mandatorily put in all boys' bathrooms in schools. Feminine hygiene products in boys' bathrooms in schools. A new state law. In one school, they were immediately torn down, and the principal is now threatening vandalism charges if he catches the students who did it. Like, nobody saw this coming. Let me ask you this. Where do we go from here? I mean, feminine hygiene products in boys' bathrooms. Lee, you start. Just give me your random thoughts. Opine, if you will.
I mean, come on. This is the dumbest thing ever. Middle school and high school boys, you expect them to see a tampon or pad machine in their bathroom and not take the strips off of them and put them all over all the mirrors? I mean, I have boys. Come on. Take the tampons out and drop them in the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to get clogged toilets, pads everywhere. It's going to be bedlam. And for what? No one's going to use them. This is the dumbest thing ever. If a girl who thinks she's a boy and wants to present herself like that should just go to the nurse and ask for them.
Yes.
There's a school nurse. She'll have some there. It's always done.
But,
period.
But,
or make them pay for them. They usually won't do it if they have to pay for them.
Did you just say period? I'm sorry. Go ahead. That's awful. That was awful. All right. Let's quickly take over.
Bruce. Okay. So this is one of those where your kid gets in a fight and you're like, don't do that again. But did you win? And then number two, where are the parents showing up? And what are they doing? How engaged are they getting in all of this? And number three, back to beating the drum over and over again, local. The way to stop this craziness is your local elections. Get involved, and those parents, that community ought to be out there putting a stop to this.
Absolutely. And you're going to wind up, the shenanigans are going to be nonstop. I mean, to Lee's point a minute ago too, you're going to have guys posting pictures of themselves, you know, with tampons in their ears, you know, because they can, getting the biggest kick out of it, you know, stopping up the drains. It's going to be it's absolutely ridiculous. And I think you said it, Lee, you've got boys that they do stuff like this. It is just what they do.
I mean, yeah, my 5-year-old got into him one day and came out and he goes, I found stickers. And he had little pads all over him. And I was like, okay. It happened.
Oh.
And I'm sure he's glad that is now documented both on the internet and the radio forever.
I
didn't say which one.
I may regret the fact that I've ever started this segment. All right, we're going to take a break. That's the end of round one with Butters and Lee. Oh, we're just saving society, I'm just telling you. All right, folks, listen, I love these folks. They make it all better. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going back with Butters and Lee. Hey, before we flip the script and y'all ask me questions, I got to tell you, Allie from Athens just texted in. She was laughing about that last segment. She said to make sure y'all both know that Navy SEALs carry tampons. They use them to stanch bleeding wounds. So that is true. I know that for a fact. So
Yeah, that thought went through my mind.
Maybe that's why they've got them in boys' bathrooms, to train them how to be future Navy SEALs. Nah, probably not. All right, this is where we flip the script. Lee, you still on the line with us? Is Lee on the line with us? You gotta patch her through there, bro. All right, there we go. Lee, you there?
I'm here. Okay. I'm laughing about that, too. Yeah, we're training Navy SEALs. That's what we're doing.
Awesome. I'm going to let you go first. You got a question for me?
Yeah, so I'm sure you're aware of the comments from Ilhan Omar a couple of days ago that have kind of risen the ire from everybody. I saw where Marjorie Taylor Greene was putting forth that she should be censured for the comments. I just have my question, I think, is in general. I'm very concerned about people who immigrate here but then still seem to stand for and be concerned with the country that they left, because it tells me that that's not assimilation. That's just more trying to influence America's response to whatever happens in the country that you came from. And I feel like that type of divided loyalty is never appropriate for someone in Congress. And when did we reach a point where, somebody like that would have been expelled even like 20 years ago?
So is that your question? So when did we reach that point?
What do you think, does it concern you that we have groups of people, it seems, that are more concerned about the countries they left than the one they're in?
Yeah, so the interesting dynamic here is I watch people like Ilhan Omar and even Joe Biden, is that if you or I or Butters were working with a security clearance in the military, the things that they say and do, we would lose our security clearances for it. If I were to have said the things that she said as an Army officer, if I were to have said the things that she said as someone who was working on classified projects in the Pentagon, I could have been in major big trouble. I could be at risk for losing my clearance and my ability to actually be employed, for that matter. But because they're elected, somehow they're immune. And what we've got,
she's making law.
She's actually making the laws. Well, so I really, we're not going to wind up. She's an American citizen. We're not going to wind up expelling her and sending her back to Somalia, although she apparently loves Somalia more than she loves here. But I do believe that censure is an appropriate situation here, because you've got a lawmaker whose mission it is allegedly to legislate in such a way that the rest of us have to live with it, talking about why she loves the laws of her prior nation more so and has disdain for where she is and is serving. I think that's absolutely grounds for censure. And I think they've got to start getting hold of some of the squad and some of the more radical members of our, and by the way, it goes to what Butter said a while ago. Elections matter at every single level. I agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene on this. I think censure is appropriate, and I think that Ilhan Omar is not only a knucklehead, I think she is besmirched the actual office that she claims to hold. So there's that. Butters, what question do you have for me?
All right, so there's a few things going on in this world.
A few.
And it seems like every day, and as we've kind of tongue-in-cheek, it's going to continue the rest of this year, right? Just every day, we're going to get new stuff. What do we need to stay focused on? Let's just say top three issues as Alabama voters. What do we need to stay focused on for national level and state level?
Wow. Lord.
In your opinion. So not like as we are researching candidates, as we're listening for things, like where do you kind of put that?
All right, so top three issues for the ballot. Okay, on the national level, it's some of this going to be a crossover. So you asked for state and federal. I think that people in Alabama are no different than people elsewhere. I think that the two top driving factors on the election trail for all levels are illegal immigration, southern border, that's one thing, and the economy. At the state level, we're going to care about what we can do as a state legislature and a governor and even an attorney general to make sure that those policies and procedures that are being done in D.C. don't negatively impact our lives. At the same time, we've got to enhance our capability as a state to increase jobs in the economy right here at home. On the national level, and by the way, we're seeing, I mean, like just today, it was announced right before the show started, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is sending upwards of 100 more of his National Guard troops and putting 900 more on standby to go help in Texas. You're going to see those state-level issues applied to the immigration southern border issue on a regular basis. I think those two matter all across the board. Now, within the state of Alabama, and only about 2 minutes left here, but within the state of Alabama, I don't think we differ, but it's going to be nuanced to the state. And within the state of Alabama, you're going to wind up having people that care deeply coming up in the next year or two as to who's going to be our governor, because they've recognized what it means. They can see Ron DeSantis right next door. Look what he's doing. They can see Bennett, the governor of Texas, doing what he's doing. And they see what a difference it makes to have what I call a God-fearing gunslinger in the office. And we don't have that right now. Is Governor Ivey a decent governor who's doing a decent job? Yeah, arguably. But she's not out front leading. And we want that. And so I think that's something that we're craving right now in the state of Alabama, is not just to be a red state, but to be a truly conservative, God-fearing gunslinger kind of state. I'm tired of seeing all of our neighboring states in the news. In the good way.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. With 30 seconds left, Lee, you got any final comments?
I agree with everything you said. And then I also think that people just really, they need to pay close attention for all special elections that we're going to have upcoming. Mm. They need to pay attention to local stuff, because that's going to change your life in ways that national won't ever do.
No. Great point, and we got a couple of special elections brewing right now. All right, Lee from Huntsville, we love you. Thanks for joining in. Butters and Lee.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.